Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is Wednesday night. And Rachel Thompson is on assignment, and you guys got me. I'm sorry to say it. You got me only. I have to correct myself. Somebody asked me who was my oldest celebrity friend, and I said Elizabeth Black because I've known her for 26 years. That's a lie, because I've known her for 26 years, but I've known this gentleman for, dare I say it, 42 years. So I'm getting, you know, with this gentleman, and this gentleman is a powerful powerhouse of entertainment. 42 years I've known him, and I love him just the same as we did 42 years ago. Yeah, do the math, I'm old. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Alvin Jones.
Hey,
good
Bennett,
evening,
how are
sir.
You, sir? I am, how
I'm
you doing,
alive
sir?
I'm and
fantastic.
Kicking.
I tell
42
you, I tell
years,
you,
can you believe it?
I can, and you know we've got our 40th reunion for DeVal High School Class of 77 coming up on the 15th of July.
Oh, well, I'm going.
I know some of our listeners
aren't, because they're far or across the other side of the world, but they're listening in, you know, and I'm not upset with you, but I'm upset because some of us didn't survive the 40, and I want to see who,
exactly what you mean.
And there are some, you left things up in the air, and you basically wanted to make amends this reunion, and they're gone. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but I
you're
get
right.
to hang with this. I get to hang with this man a little. Oh yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great time. You know, I realized when I put up your information on the website for the show, they're like, oh, Planet Vehicle, I know who he is. Planet Jazz, I know who he is. The Women's Business Report, I know who he is. I'm like, okay.
Really?
I'm like, go ahead.
No, I'm humbled.
Basking in your accolades?
No, I'm humbled. I mean, when you put things out, you know, in doing radio and TV, a lot of times people want to do stuff for fame. I want it for enjoyment, meaning I want to enjoy what I do, and I want people who receive it to enjoy. And, you know, I've found working with different recording artists and people, sometimes their things, their projects that they worked on that they're most proud of weren't things that were successful. As far as commercial success, but they got a lot of joy out of it. So when you find the congruence that you're in a situation where you know what you do aligns with the people that you're trying to reach, I mean that's it puts you in gratitude. And it's interesting because I've been in what I call gratitude lately, and that's just appreciating where I am, who I'm around, what's going on. And I think when you are in gratitude, sometimes you think you get things you don't deserve, and you're grateful for it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm very grateful with all, and I don't talk a lot about my health issues, but with all the health issues and problems I have and other things, it's amazing to see a lot of people going, how you doing? You know, I can mm-hmm. be talking to Robin Peterman, and her husband is Steve Zahn, the actor. And she goes to me and says, are you okay? And when she says, I love you, Bennett, it's not a, oh, yeah, the kissy, kissy, lovey, lovey. No, it's real. And
yeah. It's that agape love, if you know what I mean.
I understand. I mean, I'm not going to take her to bed, and you know that as well as I do. But I'm going to start with the question, because if not, I got 20 people that are not happy that I've taken 20 questions off the website. I'm going to take me out of the equation, but who is the longest entertainment friendship you have, Alvin? That is from Judy, by the way.
Entertainment friendship?
Yeah, I mean, you've been in this. Go ahead.
I would probably say longest friendship. That's tough. One person I would have to say would be Sharon Bryant with the group Atlantic Star. Another person would be Tony Winger, who was with Warner Brother Electric Atlantic Records. That was like the people that I would also say probably someone like Robin Holden, who was around. But the person I got to say who I'm in contact with the most would probably be Livonia Perryman, who's like my big sister. And so Livonia had done radio and TV before, I met her, and she was doing sales at WHUR at the point when I came to Howard. And she's, been a big sister and just befriended me and tells me what I need to and what not to do. And 99.9% of the time, she's right. So those are people
tell
that
her
I would
I'm
have
adoptable
to
if she wants to adopt me.
Definitely, I would do that. Yep.
Okay. Dwayne asks, how did you get your start in radio?
I would say doing morning announcements at DeVal High School. That was the first time that I did broadcasting. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance of the flag. Today, the math class and the gymnastics class, and we're having pizza burger for lunch, and those kind of things. But what was interesting is I had a chance to find out certain things. So I've always been a person who likes to experiment and do something differently. And it used to be back in the day. Remember, Bennett used to do the little glockenspiel, the little triangles.
Oh, God,
doom,
yes.
Doom, please stand. Well, I found out that our system, the one we had at DuVal, long before Pandora and everything else, it had a turntable. And so I'd bring records in, and I would play the music. And then after I play the music, you may hear the beginning of Shining Star, do 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 do, or the beginning of Rufus at Midnight, da 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 da. Please stand for the morning announcements. And so that was the kind of thing that I loved. Also, there was a radio tied in, and with that radio, I found out how to put music in the lunchrooms. So my senior year in high school, we had music in the lunchrooms.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I'm dating myself now. Oh, my God.
But you know what's
remind me, we have to say this at the reunion. This will blow people away. But let me get to Diana's question. She says,
okay.
Alvin, I love Planet Vehicle. How did you start doing that show or television in general?
All right, Planet Vehicle was specific because I was doing a talk show at XM Radio called TMI. And about 6 months before that, I connected with someone I hadn't seen in a while. And he was an automotive journalist, and I was looking for content. So I needed content. He wanted a base that he can do something national with, like XM Radio. And so with that, his show was called AutoSense. And I had a chance to, go different places. I went to Portland with Mercedes. Another time I went to Napa Valley. I had a chance to go to South Africa with Jaguar. General Motors took me to Paris for the auto show. And then at some point he says, it's time for you to do your own thing. And basically I got kicked out of the nest. So I had Planet Jazz as a TV show before. So I said, I'll call this Planet Vehicle. So radio-wise, getting started, of course, after doing DeVal, I went to Howard University, worked at WHBC, which is their AM station, which was just on campus, and I got a chance to work at WHUR. Had done some public access things, put together a show called Star Talk. We had a chance to video some tape of the Jackson's Victory Tour. We couldn't videotape their performance, but just the people and all the whole craze. And then I got ready for the second show and got called to BET to do Video Vibrations. Then we did Midnight Love, Soft Notes, and Rap City. So that's kind of how we got started.
Okay, this is from Mona. She said, I know you've now come back to radio. Do you like radio or TV better?
I like them both. Radio is easier.
Yeah, you don't have to. You just show up in your sweats. I know.
Well, no, it's not even that. Like, for example, coming in today, normally I play music off of my laptop, but I didn't get a chance. I had a video shoot, so I didn't get a chance to get back to the office. But I have a library of music that I can use that I have here anyway. And so I just did that. So I was able just to come in, drag, drop, and go. Now, the stuff that we shot video-wise today, I'm going to have to edit that stuff. And so it's just that it's easier to do. I remember even doing Quiet Storm. I get in right as the Quiet Storm theme was on and come in, put in a record, and boom, let's go. So, but there's love on both sides.
Okay, this is from, this is from Dwayne. He says, Alvin, I remember you from Duval. You've met many people in the industry. Who is the one that impressed you the most?
Impressed me the most?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey,
wow.
I didn't say these are easy, you know. I didn't say they're easy.
I know. I'll tell you what's memorable. I got a chance to meet Nelson Mandela briefly in a line. One time Nelson came back after he got out of, you know, out of prison. He came up to Howard University. And I remember my mom, I'm like, Mom, Nelson Mandela's going to be here. You want to go? And at first she said no, and then she came up with me. And so I tried to get around the back. There was a line. And, you know, I had a camera in one hand, you know, my right camera, a little handheld camera, because the cameras weren't that sophisticated back then. And I remember he comes by and he shakes my left hand. He goes, hello, my friend. So that was cool. Doing video for Dr. Dorothy Height was interesting. And I remember meeting Coretta Scott King at an event. And I was saying to her, you know, sometimes people say I look a little bit like Dr. King. And she goes, well, you don't look exactly like Martin, but you favor him a little bit. So some of the things that it's hard to say, really. Here's the thing that was so crazy. A very good friend of mine was managing the group The Bus Boys. And so my sister and I were out in L.A. staying with her. And she took us on the set of Harlem Nights. And so I had met Eddie Murphy before. And I knew Richard Pryor was there. And so we're standing to the side as they're getting ready to go on the set. So I see Eddie, I see Richard, how you doing? And then, I didn't know that Red Fox. And I hear somebody behind me go, excuse me. And it was Red Fox, and I was just totally blown away. Just totally blown away.
Okay, this is from Stella. Says, I hope to see both of you at the reunion. Thank you, Stella.
Okay.
But how do you create a TV show from planning to air?
All right. First thing you have to decide is what is it you want the show to look like? What's the budget? How is it going to look technically? And so it's more of an envision. I think the longer that you're around, the more ways you can see putting something together. And sometimes it's grandiose and sometimes it's real simple. And it just depends on what message you're trying to do. So you want to know, and I'll give you an example with Women's Business Report. What I wanted is I wanted to take a show that would be segments 4.5 to 5 minutes long. So we can do about four of them. So that's like 20 minutes. You have your intro, your promo. And what I wanted that show with Women's Business Report, I wanted the show to be the words and the voice of the women who have their own business. I didn't want it to be formatic in a formula. And I realized each woman has her own story. So I just wanted her to tell her story. And with that, we tried to make it very generic for the intro. So basically, it's an intro about the show. You come back and you do kind of an introduction to who the woman is, and then just let it go. And so with that, you're looking at editing, you're looking at the timing, you're looking at music, and it's just putting it all together. It's kind of like making a meal. Once you've done it for a while, you can decide, okay, what's the budget? That determines, you know, the ingredients that you get or how many ingredients you have. Do you want spicy? It's like this. To me, a good steak, I don't need steak sauce. You know, just a little bit of seasoning and do it. But depending on what it is you're working on. So and it also depends on what kind of vision you want to go. You may want to see something differently, and so that works also.
And I think Stella is asking here, because she's messaged me on Facebook. She said, how long did it take you to, say, create the women's business report?
You know, that's interesting. The way I created Women's Business Report, it was because of Planet Vehicle. I met this lady, Joyce Arndt, and Joyce has a body shop. It's Ray's Auto Body. She is the widow survivor of Ray. And to me, it was just, wow, here's a woman who has a body shop. And Joyce is in her mid-70s, but she's very spry. She's very alert. And I just like, this just destroys a stereotype. So I wanted to do a piece on her inside of Planet Vehicle. And the more I knew about her, I was like, oh, wow. I said, there has to be other women who have a story. And we were starting to do some taping in January for Joyce. And I said, well, you know, March is Women's History Month. Let's work on putting together a show. And so we sent out emails about a special, and we've got women who came in. And when we went to go taping, Joyce had a skin condition and couldn't shoot the special. And I'm like, man, this doesn't make sense. How do we have a show where the person is the inspiration and then she's not around? So we did the show in March, and then we came back and decided to do another show in April as a special, and then the show just caught on. But it was because of, that woman who, when, you know, her husband, before they were married and before she was working for him, he would come into her dad's restaurant. And one night he's sitting over in the corner by 11:30, 12:00, and he can't figure out his payroll. And she goes, oh, you're paying this person, that person, that person. He goes, wait a minute, I fired those people, two of them. And she's like, yeah, but you're paying them. And so she came in and was able to help him save his company. And that story was so cool because they saved each other. It was a second marriage. Joyce had lost her son in a car accident. And if Ray is like this, remember Mel from Alice from the TV show?
Yeah,
Alice
I do.
All right. So he was a combination of Mel from Alice and Bowser from Sha-na-na. Because he was tall, slim, but he was kind of grumpy and so forth.
Hey, some of these references I know and you know. Some of these other people are who? What?
Google, baby. Just Google. You know.
Just Google, yeah.
Yeah. See, back in our day, we would have to go to the library. But just Google.
stuck with the Encyclopedia Britannica.
No, I was World Book, man. I was World Book. World Book and Child Crap. And then they had Compton's Picture Dictionary and some other stuff. But anyway, but yeah, just the whole story of Joyce was so inspiring. And I said, there's got to be other women who have their own businesses.
Well, this is from Janie. She said, yeah. I heard in the reading about you and about Bennett that you went to high school together. What was your first impression of him? I did
wait a minute,
the
is that for me?
That's
minute,
for
minute.
You, yeah. Hey, blame Janie. I'm just answering questions.
Wait a minute. My impression of you or your impression of me?
No,
which one?
Your impression. You always impressed me, my friend. But this was to me. I was surprised that my aide took it off and gave me the question. I was like, I ain't going to scratch it. She said, no, say it. So, okay.
Okay. All right.
I've got a young lady who's 18 who's interning and says, oh, here's the question. Okay, fine.
All right. All right, so I'm going to keep it 100. First of all, folks, Bennett has always been a different person. Just different person. Cecil and Clay, Bennett was non-conventional. And to really look at it, you know, people thought Bennett was just out there a little crazy. But one day I go, you know what? Bennett's got something going on. And they, what are you talking about? I said, you know, I said, he's out there, but there's something there. I said, there's a genius about Bennett. And people are like, oh, no, no. And I'm like, no, y'all don't get it. But see, I've always been a nerd anyway. And so, you know, look, I wasn't popular with the women and all that stuff. I was, you know, I like to have fun, but I always run my mouth. And people are like, Ty, if you're not the coolest kid, if you're not the quarterback or the captain of the football team, you know, people just go, oh, you get on my nerves. I'm always running your mouth. But once I got into radio, then I became cool. Because it's like, yeah, yeah, I could see him doing radio. Someone said something the other day. Success has many a parent. Failure is an orphan. And so, but what my whole thing was, is I saw something in Bennett. And so I remember when we first ran to each other again, it had been years, and it was at the Bally's in Greenville.
Yeah.
And that's
yes.
when you told me you were writing and stuff like that. And it was just so cool because I said, there's Bennett. And I said, I knew because I had always wanted to run back into you because I knew. I said, I wonder what Bennett Pomerantz is doing, you know, because what I realized as I got into college and doing stuff, you have to be a character and you have to be your own person to stand out because if you don't, you just blend in. And it takes a lot of boldness to be who you are and be different. And that's the thing, Bennett, that I've always appreciated about you is that you've been your own, you've pushed yourself through this, and you've made your own way.
Okay,
and ladies
is
and
it
gentlemen,
the 20 or the 50 that I owe you?
No, you don't owe me anything. You're going to help me with my book. Remember, you told me that.
The deal is on. I'm waiting for you. But
okay, no.
This is... Yeah. This is from Donatella. Hi, Donatella. Okay. She's one of the biggest fans of this show, or all my shows, basically.
Hey, Donatella. You've got good taste.
I think she does. I love her dearly. She's great. I've never met the woman. She's in Arizona. So, Donatella asks, what's the strangest thing that's happened to you as a celebrity?
The strangest thing? Which I don't understand what she means as a celebrity.
Well, you know, my friend, I say this lovingly to you. You are a celebrity. People know who you are. They know you from CNN. They know you from Book TV. They know you from your radio shows, from internet stuff you've done. You know, your stuff is on YouTube.
Now, I guess the strangest thing, but I've become used to it, is that I left Quiet Storm in 1990, and I'll run into someone, and I'll say my name, and they'll say, your voice sounds familiar, or that sounds familiar, or they'll say WHUR. And it's like, I stopped doing WHUR 27 years ago, Bennett. 27 years ago.
I understand.
It was over the, like, right before the Memorial Day holiday when I stopped doing it. And that's kind of strange. I remember one time, I think I called, this was back in the 80s, I think I called to try to make a long-distance phone call or something like that. Remember you had your calling cards? And
yeah.
I think, and the operator recognized my voice, and that was interesting.
Donatella, I can wait on mine, but I'll tell you just quickly. I did Danny Queen's lovely talk show called Color Me Poetry. And the thing taped a couple of weeks before. And I went out to the supermarket, and she looks at me and says, you were on that TV show. And I wanted to hide under the conveyor belt. Like,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the other thing that was funny, somebody said to me, they like, what were you doing not wearing socks? I'm like, what are you doing? Because it was wintertime. I'm like, what do you mean? say I just saw you on TV and you weren't wearing socks. I went, oh, they taped that back in April.
You ever notice they pick up on the interesting that you know, you're not wearing socks. Your tie was crooked.
Mm-hmm.
They do you in a one shot. And I'm sorry. Let me try to explain a one shot. A one shot is a focus on you or focus on the other person. And they do you in a one shot, and you're like, if you sweat, you're sweating.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
those lights
sometimes are hot. You know,
they are hot. Yeah,
they are hot, and you know you're sweating. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a glandular condition? I'm like, yeah.
No, I don't. That's why I sweat.
So, this is from Jenna. She asks, do you answer your fan mail?
If I ever get some, yes.
Hey, I'm just reading the question.
Tell Jenna she can send me an email to alvin@alvinjones.com and she'll find out.
He's also on Facebook. I was going to ask that. That's towards the end of the show. But what do you do in your off time from being in the entertainment field?
All right. Here's what I did.
That is from Christine.
All right. I am on a natural high. And this is, for most people, they'll go, that's crazy. But, you know, this is just me. I was telling somebody, they're like, why? All right. So I went down for my cousin's wedding this weekend. It was also my parents' their school class reunion for high school. They always come down for the alumni association, and then they had picnic. So yesterday I started driving back from North Carolina, and there was a place where the speed limit was 50, so I just kept driving 50. And my mileage was doing pretty well. Now, I have my personal car is like a 2006 Acura NDX, so it's a 7-passenger SUV. Bennett, I started realizing I was averaging like, it's supposed to be like 23 miles per gallon. I was averaging 27, then it started going to 28, and I'm like, oh, wow. So now the whole time from North Carolina back to D.C. aboard by Union Station, I went 50 miles an hour. I averaged 30 miles to the gallon. Those are the kind of things I do when I'm not working. It was just such a cool thing is that it took me longer to get home, but it was just the idea of, hey, I'm getting 30 miles an hour and a 2006. Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's little things like that sometimes impress you, don't it? I mean, I'm impressed with that, too.
Oh, and I tell you, I've got a good friend of mine, Grover. You know how we celebrate good things? When we want to go out and celebrate, we go to Costco and get a $1.50 hot dog and soda. That's awesome.
Oh, God. when you're going next, you tell me. Take me. I'll go with you. And of course, they have the onion machine that sit and they also have the relish, the green relish.
Oh, and sometimes I've seen when the onion machine has been like not working, people get upset. Where's the onion machine? But you know what? I also found out they have sauerkraut. You just have to ask.
Oh,
for it.
Yeah, and but also they have two different types of mustard, and and people are like, I was eating a hot dog and somebody said, you're Bennett Pomerantz. I was at Wheaton Plaza in front of the Costco eating a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've had something similar, but they're like, you're Bennett Pomerantz, and I've got a hot dog in my mouth, you know, chewing away. Okay, yeah, we know who you are. Yeah, okay. Let me. This is from Angela, and don't kill me on this one. She says, "What is your greatest failure in your career?"
My greatest failure. Hmm.
Hey, I didn't write these questions, really.
Hmm. That's a good question. What is my greatest failure? Because, you know, to be honest with you, what works and what doesn't work kind of leads you to the next thing that you want to go to. So for me, it's hard to say what was a failure. I was going to say having to walk away from something that I like, but that wasn't a failure. That was a decision. If something's not successful, I don't look at it as a failure. I look at it as a learning experience for something else. And sometimes it may not work the way you want to, but you just did it because you wanted to try it, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like I have so much respect for Michael Jordan for going out to play baseball because he had nothing to gain. But he did it because that's what he loves.
Okay. God, you're prolific. We got to hang together more often. I know.
We do. We do. Do you ever watch Psych, the TV show Psych? That's one of my favorite shows. And Julia says to Sean, "You're prolific." And he didn't understand what she meant. He goes, "Prolific? You're prolific." And that's just interesting when people use a word and the person doesn't understand it. There was a movie where the young girl didn't like her daddy. She says, "Because you broke mom's heart, you cheated on her, and you were a philanthropist." And he goes, "No, I think you mean philanderer."
This is from Leonard. He asks, "What's your next big goal for you?"
For me, you know what? I guess my next big goal is I've been writing songs and I want to get them out, start recording them, or see if I can get them covered by other people. I think that's the next big goal.
Okay. You've been in music. This is from Athena. Sorry. Athena. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. I don't want to get killed. You've seen the music market change over the years. What do you think about this and the trends?
Well, I think one of the problems is because everybody can enter it. It's good for creativity, but really the percentage doesn't change. It's kind of like, and it's funny, I was just doing an interview with Walter Beasley, and Walter, in addition to, you know, being a singer and a saxophone player and leading his own band, he was also, for over 30 years, an instructor at Berklee School of College of Music in Boston. And it's the whole scenario of now, everybody thinks it's easy. Nobody wants to pay dues, and everybody thinks it's an overnight sensation. And so what I realize, I go, look, if everybody's got a rap album out, we'll all go broke with the money that we make from selling an album, buying everybody else's album. You know, if everybody's performing at a concert, then nobody can be at yours. So everybody can do this. It's like, you know, I find people who are best-selling authors and life coaches and motivational speakers, and it's CEOs, and it's all what they think they want to do. And I think a lot of people don't realize, here's what I look at. You ever notice the marathons? We have all these people in the marathons, and then you have the Kenyans,
yes,
the two Kenyans in the front. I got into this to be the best. So it didn't matter who else was in it. I want to be the best. I think most people, they want the fame of it, but they don't want to do the work.
Exactly.
And there is no guarantee. I don't want a guarantee. And I'll be honest with you, we're now in the second year of Women's Business Report. It did gangbusters in the beginning, and then people were like, we really don't care. And I thought that having a show that was a positive reflection of women and something that would help women in their business was a no-brainer, but it didn't. And it did very well, and then, you know, its sophomore year, it went like, and it's kind of interesting about that question about failure, because at some point, outside forces and even the little that little doubt in your head says, you know, this is a failure. It's not going to happen. Let it go. And I couldn't let it go because I felt it was the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And now the show is doing, you know, very well. We've gotten a lot of better feedback. And so I realized I had to promote it more. And my friend Livonia would say, it doesn't matter if you got something great if nobody knows where it is. But I think most people now are too busy promoting who they are instead of working on what they have to provide.
Well,
you know what
in,
I mean?
In that vein, I have to take about 2 minutes and do my homework because if not, people get mad.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, the 2nd of June, Elizabeth Black will be my guest on Anything Goes, and that's at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? I can't say she's my
uh-huh.
oldest friend, but she's a damn good friend. She has a lovely book called Don't Call Me Baby, so if you haven't got it, get it. On Monday, Sarah Abram and I will be back doing the legal show. Yes, we took Memorial Day off. So we're back on Monday doing the legal show. We have a lovely case, and I'm told I was sworn to secrecy. I cannot say what it is about. On the 7th, Michelle Parsley Reed, I didn't write her name, that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Will be my guest on the 7th on Let's Talk at 6:30. And Dave Smith, who writes the Hidden Mickey series and also a set of tennis books, will be my guest on Anything Goes on June 9th. I want to thank everybody for their cards, letters, and everything else regarding the situation I mentioned last week. And you guys will be first to know what's going on. I'm not going to hide it from anybody, what's going on in any way.
Hey, can I just interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
One of the people I have a lot of respect for is Darryl Grant, who is number 77 for the Washington Redskins. And
yes,
so,
sir.
So world,
I respect
a lot
him
of
too.
Times he posts things on Facebook. And what we were talking about, he says, you know, pardon my French, but MERD don't just happen magic. Don't just magically happen. You have to hustle. And he used the sugar honey iced tea, and that's one of the things. Also, people just think everything is. It's a transference. I was talking to someone. Success is a transference of energy, and you have to transfer energy into something else, because all we are energy, if you think about it.
Exactly.
We eat food. That food turns to energy, and we're able to do things. And if you look at it, when we die, we're energy, because our body starts to decompose. That's energy that's breaking down. And even when we're buried and we decompose, we go back into the soil. Or even if, as Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson said, if you know, if maggots and bugs eat us, our energy transfers to them. So it's about that energy. Where do you focus? How do you put your energy? And that's how, if you think about it, when you have rockets that can blast off, it's just transferring energy. Who we are is transferring energy. And so you have to hustle to get this thing done. I like working hard. And sometimes whether it's successful or not doesn't matter. I wanted to do it. I don't want to sit on my deathbed and go, I don't know. And that was one of the things with me leaving BET to start my own company. You know, everything was going well. And I wanted to know you always want to know if someone took something away from you, could you start all over again? And that to me was more of an indication of who I wanted to be. So in coming up with Planet Jazz and TMI, Too Much Information, and Women's Business Report and Planet Vehicle, I always want to be able to create something and find a need and address it.
Well, you still do radio, and Ashton asked this. He says, do you have a pre-show ritual before you get on the air?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes it's just avant-garde. like for today, I knew I couldn't get back to the office to get my laptop, and I knew we had about 50, 60 songs that we have in storage. So I just go, okay, what do we pick out today, and what do I feel? And maybe I'm prepared mentally, and it allows me the freedom to just make it look like I'm just doing it off the top of my head. But I realize in doing radio over 30 years, you kind of know what you're doing. It's kind of like, do you prepare mentally to walk? You know what I mean? Do you prepare mentally to go open the door? And I think you are prepared, but it's just, it's ingrained in you. So my whole thing is like just, yeah, I guess. Is that it? Yeah.
Well, my friend Don, and the reason he asked this question, he said he finally bungee jumped on his 60th birthday. Is there something you want to finally do?
You know what? I've always wanted to go to Tahiti. And I would tell people, if I die before I go to Tahiti, I want to be cremated and take my ash to Tahiti. But I don't know. I think this year I want to go. I may go this year. Within the next, you know, a year, year and a half, I want to go to Tahiti. Because there's a lot of things you can't really, you can't prepare for. Last summer I lost my nephew in a motorcycle accident. We just lost a cousin. So you don't know how much longer you have. And, you know, I'd rather go to Tahiti myself and then have somebody take my ash to Tahiti. So that's what I'm thinking.
So that's our summer trip, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the reason
You think I'm kidding. I'm not. After the reunion, maybe in August or end of August, you and I should go to Tahiti. Yeah, we'll go to Tahiti for 4 days or whatever. Yeah, Tahiti. That'd be good.
You know what? Look, it takes you 4 days to get to Tahiti. You want to go there for a week at least.
Okay, fine. I'll go there for a week. But
yeah.
Now, okay, let me ask you these two more questions, and then I want you to give them. Well, how do these people get a hold of you if they want to send you a letter or an email or whatever?
Easy. Alvin@alvinjones.com. I try to make it easy.
Okay. Boy, we're almost done with questions, and we're almost done with time. Sheesh. Do you still get it? Okay, this is from Desi. He says, do you still get a thrill meeting newsmakers like Mandela and other people?
Yes, because they're doing something. And they may not be people who I agree with. I want to meet the person. It's interesting because, you know, I get along with, of course, Jesse Jackson. I've done some stuff with Reverend Jackson over the years. But, you know, every time I see Ann Coulter, we get along. One of the people who a lot of folks now don't like is Omarosa. She's always been kind to me. You know, she's always... I met Omarosa back in 2002 when she was Mrs. District of Columbia for the USA pageant. And that's how she, you know, she came across the folks in the Trump organization. But, you know, I look at scenarios. I look at people the way that they... How do they treat me? And so, you know, I like meeting people who are doing things. Huh?
I tell you, we're down to the last minute of the show. God, and I've still got 6 questions. I can't, you know, we're going to have to save them for next time you come.
Okay, these will be yes or no answers. Go real quick. We'll talk
about it. No, these are not yes or no. Trust me, these people aren't. But all kidding aside, thank you for coming. I will see you.
Pleasure.
We will be, if you guys want to stop, we will be at the Duval Senior High School reunion in July. So if you guys want to see Alvin and myself together, we'll find a spot and you guys can take pictures of us.
There you go. It's going to be at the Blue Dolphin in Crofton off of Route 3, July 15th. July 15th.
Yeah, July 15th. But I'll tell you the funny thing, I owe Elizabeth Black an apology because I told her she was my oldest entertainment and celebrity friend. And I have to say, it's Alvin. No.
No, but you have to understand something. Our friendship predates celebrity. So technically, she wins.
Okay, she wins? Okay, well, I'll tell her that on Friday.
Yeah, because we were classmates.
I know. I will tell you this, all kidding aside, it's been lovely. It's been great. We've got to do this again soon. And
please,
not just on a show.
All right,
we
got to get together. Yeah, we're way overdue, man. Way overdue.
Way overdue. Take care. Good night. Fly right. Be well. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Take care.